What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 9th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Are you in Kansas City? I'm going to actually be there on Friday. I'm wearing my Cole Reagans AGA shirt right now. And if you're around and you want to meet up before the game, let me know. I might be organizing a small Kansas City meetup before I go to the Royals game on Friday. But we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Ian Seymour. And it wasn't an impressive outing. It was four innings, but it was one run, one hit, one walk, and five Ks. That's cool. 55 pitches for the Rays against the Red Sox. It did look like it was Ian Seymour, the starter. With Steven Matz now in the pen, Mason Englert could be the one that the Rays lean on for this opportunity in the rotation. However, it should be Ian Seymour. He did have a short stint last year in the rotation, and for some reason, the Rays really didn't want to push him into a starter this season. I think they should. And his two-pitch combo, the four-seamer and changeup, are very much alive. We also did see the sweeper come into play 28% of the time against right-handers. That is very interesting, as he usually threw a cutter last year. Completely disappeared. I imagine to see that cutter again if he does get up to 75-80 pitches. And for now, I wouldn't necessarily go after Ian Seymour. However, I would monitor to see if he is getting that start over the weekend. And if he is, if you're in a desperate, deep league, he could go 60 to 70 pitches and maybe go five frames. But that would actually make him a worthy guy to add on your fab waiver wire in weekly leagues, especially in 15 teamers, if he does go a second time. So be aware of that one. A Miles Michaelis pitched 4.2 innings of 0 runs, and he lost the win the second he left the game. The pen came in and tied up the game, and there you go. Definitely not worth your time. You have Logan Webb against the Nationals. He's looking like old Logan Webb. Finally, has two straight starts back from the IL, and he's gone 15 innings in those two with one earned run in this one in 8 innings, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. He had a King Cole with a 33% CSW. Things are great. You have Emerson Hancock against the Orioles, got the win in Camden. 5 innings of 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts with 11 whiffs in this. What's very interesting to me about Emerson Hancock is that his vert is going down 7.6 inches, but I think also his arm angle is going down. And it's like a 13-inch arm angle. It is true sidearm. And we have a sinker with negative vert. It's about a negative inch of vert on it. I love that. We don't see many true sinker ballers anymore in the majors. And what it can mean is if Hancock can locate this as well as he does his four-seamer, it could mean a lot of ground balls, a more efficient outing for him where 92 pitches doesn't mean five innings. And it could mean even at 7.6 inches of vert on a four-seamer, that could be enough to maintain the effectiveness of his fastball upstairs. So I'm kind of intrigued by it. It's at 95. I'm going to pay attention to it. We're just going to keep starting Hancock just like we have with Will Warren. I see them very very similarly. They are a decent comp for each other. And speaking of which, Will Warren, yeah, he's thrown a ton of four-seamers and sinkers, but he had to throw a lot of changeups because he was at Cleveland and they threw 100% left-handers at him. 4.1 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks was the result. And yes, you want 5 innings to feel good about this and still understand that in a bad day where his changeup went 0 for 18 whiffs and 56% strikes, that Will Warren still gave you something. You know, it wasn't the worst start ever. It was close to a 1 whip. It was close to that 3.6 ERA that you want for 5 innings. And it had 5 strikeouts in this 4.1. But sure, not a good one. And we're just happy it wasn't worse. I do want to see that changeup do better. It wasn't even badly located. It was right around the point that you want, down and away to right-handers, sorry, to left-handers, and it just didn't get bites. It just didn't get the whiffs that you'd want. I think that's more of an indication that Will Warren's changeup shouldn't be treated as that major whiff pitch. You have Spencer Arrighetti against the Angels, 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 7 strikeouts against the Angels. This was kind of interesting. He threw 6 pitches in the first inning and then 34 in the second. His curveball and four-seamer combination that we've seen a lot this season, well, it didn't work out for him. That curveball was a very low strike rate, and he did the wise thing and turned to a sweeper and a slider. Savant calls it a sweeper only. There was one sweeper that was mislabeled that is a curveball, and there were many sweepers that were actually sliders really close to that cutter than proper sweep with much more lateral movement. So what did Arrighetti do? He threw more of those, had a much more successful final four frames of zero earned runs in that time to go that poor quality start of six innings and 300 runs. Much better. So I do think that Spencer Arrighetti is going to adapt that approach moving forward. And at least I hope he's going to be more varied in his arsenal, because he does have a good sweeper. He does have a decent cutter. He can do those things instead of just leaning so heavily on curveballs and four-seamers. You have Walker Buehler doing well against the Reds in San Diego. 4.2 innings of one earned run, 8 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. One earned run. 10 base runners. One earned run. It's a kitchen sink. He threw 6 different pitches to lefties and righties with 7 total. But it's just so, ugh. The velocity gain that we saw last game was not there. Christopher Sanchez, I gotta say, is just having a remarkable season. I've been down on him a little bit, right? It's interesting. My whole story with him is I was really in on him entering last year. And then as he was progressing through it, I acknowledged that at the end of the last year, he really saved his season a bit of having this really good stretch at the end that turned his season into a much lower whip, more strikeout rate, etc. And I was very cautious entering the season that A, his velocity wouldn't be there, and B, that he would be this whip threat, as he's known to be around a 9-hit-per-9 guy. And what happens early in the season, Christopher Sanchez, yeah, he allowed 23 hits in 2 games. That is a huge problem. Since then, it's been so remarkable. This game was 7 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 10 Ks. He got 17 whiffs for Gallows pull. Since then, he's had a 5.6 hit per 9. This is over an 8-game stretch. And instead of a hit per inning, 5.6 hit per 9. Insane. Also, in his last 7 games, he has an 18% swinging strike rate. Oh my gosh. Do you remember that in 2024, Christopher Sanchez had a 20% strikeout rate? It was actually slightly below that. And this is why you have a 30% strikeout rate right now. This is why he's SP3 to me. Behind Skeens and Mizorowski. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I have Skeens ahead. How ridiculous is that? Because he has such a good track record of being the best pitcher. I mean, 2 straight seasons of a sub-2 ERA, guys. And like, sure, he's had a couple bad ones, but it's Paul Skeens. There's a lot more of a track record of him being excellent moving forward. Still, obviously, Christopher Sanchez, Jacob Mizorowski, also dope. And I really hope that Christopher Sanchez can hold on to this. When you get more whiffs, you're going to have fewer hits, of course. That said, it shouldn't be a sub-6 hit per 9. It should probably settle around like a 6.5 to 7. And 6.5 would still be amazing. Just keep that in mind. You might, I don't know what you'd sell high for, but if you can sell high on Christopher Sanchez, yes, I would. But I mean, I'm still going to keep him as my SP3. Does that make sense? Cool. Grayson Rodriguez, as he went against the Astros, was a streaming victory for both me and Peelbot. We both didn't want to do it. I had him in the do not start tier, but he actually came through, right? 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. You love to see that. This was a case of all 3 secondaries earning at least a 15% swing strike rate, 50% on the changeups, and 17% on the 2 breakers. However, they weren't good strike rates on them, and the changeup was a 54% strike rate with only 4 over 25 whiffs. That was his premier secondary pitch. I need more from that. I love the fact that it is a 14-mile-per-hour difference between the 96-mile-per-hour four-seamer, but he's got to wield that a little bit better. While the four-seamer is still the lead pitch in Grayson's arsenal, that's good enough. It's not unreal, but the secondaries do take these steps forward, then there might be something there. I'm not too encouraged by this one, but I like the fact that at least we're seeing some progress. Connelly Early might be bothering you. He might be someone that you don't feel as confident in then as I do. And I'm going to go over this. And of course, the other guys from yesterday's games after this break. So Connelly Early at the Rays, 4.2 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, and 6 Ks. This was a struggle for Connelly Early. Sinkers, changeups, sliders, they all failed to return regular strikes. The latter pair of the changeups and sliders, about a 43% strike rate each. Ooh. And then the big hook, the one that makes us really think of like Max Fried at times. Yeah, 2 of them thrown, both spiked into the dirt. So I'm a little surprised at this point that Kyler Early has had so many 3+ walk games. That's 5 out of 13 starts. That's around 40% or so of his games are returning 3 or more walks. And I'm a little bothered by that. At least the four-seamer is looking very good from the left side. It doesn't profile out as far as under the hood as being this elite four-seamer. However, he is locating it effectively, and because he has such a wide arsenal, that pitch at 94-95 at times can be really, really good. So I'm happy he has that foundation, and I really don't think that the changeup and the slider and the curveball and the sinker should be this poorly spotted moving forward. It wasn't the dome of Tampa Bay, so you would think that of all games that have a good feel, like this should be that one. Fortunately, it wasn't. And the one positive I'm going to tell you is that he is actually upping his strikeout rate and pretty consistent with it. That is, over his last 6 starts, you have a 26% strikeout rate with a 7% walk rate. That is good, and that included 2 games against Hotlanta. So I really do think that the whole package here of Connelly Early is an elite swatch, right? It's someone with a wide arsenal. His comp is Max Fried, has been for a while. I think once he learns maybe a cutter to get inside to right-handers and really be effective with that and with that changeup, I think those are the pitches that should take off for him, while the sinker inside to lefty slider away is a very standard by-the-book approach that Early should be able to pull off. So I'm encouraged by that. It is more volatility than I would like, and I understand if you're in a shallow league and you have a lot of sturdy guys and then there's Connelly Early, yeah, he might be the one to move on from and stream instead. You also have Andrew Abbott, another swatch type, 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks against the Friars. They're really bad against lefties, so we said, fine, we're okay with this one. And it was a poor quality start here with 1 whip and 6 strikeouts. That's good. I will take that all day from Abbott, who's turned into a Toby. He's had this nice stretch for about 6 starts now, and it doesn't quite make sense. We're back to Andrew Abbott not making sense. But this one, at least we saw a 76% strike rate on his four-seamer. That was generally upstairs. We saw a change that didn't get strikes, but was generally away. And actually, when we didn't understand Andrew Abbott back in, 23, 24, it was that. It was the changeup not really being this high strike pitch, but being an effective offering to keep guys off of the fastball, right? And that's kind of what his game is. So I'm fine with this against the Arizona Diamondbacks, but then I don't want to stick around for the Yankees after that. Gavin Williams against the Yankees, speaking of which, 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. A very strange one, because Gavin Williams has been this super high strike rate guy, and we saw against the Yankees last week that he went super heavy on sinkers and pulled back on his four-seamer. So I said, okay, I expect the strike rate to be there, and it probably will switch from sinkers to four-seamers because the Yankees just saw that, and now they're going to get a reverse, right? Nope. It's like the classic old skill, new skill thing where I think like a guy is going to take the new thing and then add on something else. Instead, they revert back all the time because the strike rate went down and he didn't make the change with the four-seamer. Four-seamers are just thrown 10% of the time to lefties, and 0 were thrown against righties. Meanwhile, the strike rate on a sinker was just 54%, 47% on his sweeper. Ugh! The curveball was really good, though. That was really the thing that that kept him in this game. He had an 80% strike rate on that, which is great. And guess what? He was throwing 2 ticks harder, which is kind of wild because Gavin Williams already throws hard at 98+. So this was 98 to 99 on his four-seamer, right around 98 on his sinker. That is so good. We like this. And I wish that he could have pulled off one of these 2 starts against the Yankees without Judge. But you should be encouraged by Gavin Williams. Yes, I know. It doesn't matter how hard you throw a ball for. I get it. But Gavin Williams should not be this low of a strike rate guy. And the fact that he has 98-99 in his back pocket is pretty dang cool. Trey Gibson against the Mariners. I had him on the list yesterday, and he went 4.2 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 0 strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? This is a pure Wonka. There is nothing that you get from this. You get nothing. And Gibson should not be on the list. Obviously not. I was just saying, look, he is a prospect pitcher who has been highly touted by prospect reviewers, like scouts and everything. I've always been weirded out by him because I don't think the fastballs are that good. And yeah, the secondaries, the curveball and the slider and the sweeper, they're not doing enough at all, clearly. So his extension also, that was the most interesting part, 7 feet plus. Yeah, that was a 6'7", 6'8" in this one. Not good. Not what you want. Move on from Trey Gibson. Jeffrey Springs and Kyle Harrison had to deal with Vegas. And Jeffrey Springs, not sunshine and rainbows because it's Jeffrey Springs. Kyle Harrison, that was just dumb. He had 3 home runs and like, you just can't throw anyone in Vegas. JT Ginn, no. Don't do it. Brandon Sproat is going against, who is it? Jack Perkins? Oh my gosh. It is just ridiculous. So everything with Kyle Harrison, 2.1 innings of 8 earned runs, just forget it. He also could not command his curveball and his changeup effectively. The four-seamer was lower in the zone than usual. I think also the elevation messed with the movement, and just the whole thing was weird, and I feel bad for Kyle Harrison. No, don't do that. And lastly, we have the duo of Patrick Corbin, who went 3 innings of 5 earned runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 3 Ks, and Simeon Woods Richardson, who made his debut for the Jays and was great. 4 innings of 0 earned runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. Now, this was 48 pitches. He was throwing 94, though. It wasn't the 91-92. And he had really good sliders down and glove side to right-handers. And he also had more cut on his 4-seamer. Is he all of a sudden great now that he's on his initial team? No, I don't think so. He was traded, remember, to the Twins in the Jose Barrios deal, and now he's back with the Jays. I don't think he's going to maintain this at 48 pitches. Well, sorry, at say 75, 80 pitches instead of at 48. A small sample, of course, right? And you have the adrenaline. You also have that emptying the tank that you get to do. So do not go after Simeon Woods Richardson, who also doesn't have a spot in the rotation. Should still be Patrick Corbin. And Max Scherzer is coming back. And sure, there could be something else that falls through the cracks here. But just imagine Simeon Woods Richardson as a roving long reliever for when they need it. And back to Patrick Corbin quickly. I know it was a very bad start, but he did a decent job. Like, he nibbled around the plate. He didn't give in often. The cutter, the slider, and the changeup were all like really good. So sure, 43% strike rates across 35 fastballs are not going to work, right? But it was kind of good. I don't know. You'll get the Yankees next, so yeah, totally just ignore this. But it was kind of fun. That's just me. And you're like, what? 3 innings, 5 runs? Like, I know. But Patrick Corbin nibbling effectively, throwing these secondaries really well. I think that's pretty cool. He just needs to get a few more strikes with his fastball to really make this work. I mean, it was 12 whiffs over 79 pitches. Like, that's not bad at all. Just throwing that out there. All right, that is it for today's episode of the Plus Pitch Podcast. Thank you all once again for your incredible support. Truly, it's getting these emails every so often from you guys is just brightens my day every single time. So truly, thank you all so much. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.